Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us. Our play-by-play call of the day. Baylor getting the job done on ESPN Radio.
Bader dribbles up to the three-point line, gives it to Burton, steps behind the three-quarter shot, air ball, and Prince has the ball. Here's a three-on-two. Motley slams it home, and the foul called by Burton.
Jonathan Motley slam dunk in overtime as Baylor won it last night. Our play-by-play call of the day. All right, let's get to it here. 800-795-9565. As a sports fan, what do you consider to be your big rivalry game? Is it you can't wait to see Penn State wrestle Iowa or wrestle Lehigh? You can't wait for Penn State to play football with Pitt? You can't wait to see, Kevin says, Sealands Grove in any sport? Can't wait to watch tonight's Duke North Carolina game. Can't wait to watch Michigan play Ohio State in football or Alabama Auburn. Or, you know, it may be anything. It's whatever rivalry, you know, it could be in the pro level. It could be the Steelers Ravens. It could be the Flyers Penguins. It could be Montreal and the Bruins. I don't know. I mean, this is your call. It's your, you're the ones that love sports. So what's the biggest rivalry to you that you can't wait for? And this is all in the context that Duke is playing North Carolina tonight, and the worldwide leader in sports has told us that it is the number one rivalry in all sports.
Ben Reichle checked in over the news, and he said Republicans versus Democrats. And then he said, no, really, Army-Navy.
Army-Navy. That's a really good one. Army-Navy. I know Ed DeChellis, I think, has swept Army this year, thus he is in good stead with the Admirals. So, that's what we've heard so far, but I want to hear from the rest of the audience, too. 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. What do you as a sports fan think is the rivalry you can't? And again, this is one of the great ones. There's no wrong answer. There, you know, again, Kevin said Shikellamy and Sealands Grove. That's fine. That's a rivalry. And it's one
sometimes
that
a one-sided rivalry, but, you know.
But still, I mean, it's something that you as a sports fan, turn broadcaster, as a sports fan, look forward to. So 1-800-795-9565. And again, I don't care what sport it's in. I don't care what level of sports it happens to be. I also want to hear what you think. 1-800-795-9565. Duke plays North Carolina tonight. They tell us it's the greatest rivalry in sports. To me, rivalries are personal. You're sitting in Lebanon, Indiana, for goodness sakes. You're probably going to think Indiana-Purdue is a better rivalry to you than watching Duke play North Carolina. So in that personal level, I want to know from you, the sports fan, at 1-800-795-9565, what rivalry piques your interest? What's the one you get into? I also put out an appeal to Dick from Milton to call today because I want to get a feel from Dick on the Neville's kid at heavyweight for Penn State. I've never seen him wrestle. He saw him wrestle at Lehigh the other night because he mentioned he went down to Bethlehem to watch Penn State wrestle Lehigh. So I'd like to hear from Dick and I want to get his read on him because Penn State, for the most part, has a lineup that is going to win almost all the time. They have a couple of holes in the lineup, and one happens to be heavyweight. Does he fill the bill there? And that's what I'd like to find out from Dick when he calls at 800-795-9565. Rivalries take on all shapes and forms and sizes. You know, it turned out that my hometown growing up, we had two high schools in town. Well, the big rivalry was anything that we played against them. We were Enfield High School and they were Enrico Fermi High School. So we always played them in football Thanksgiving morning at 10 a.m. There'd be 10 to 15,000 people in the seats. They would bring in extra bleachers, they'd ring the field, and the town would turn out to see it. Play them in basketball, same thing. Big deal. Did not want to get let them have bragging rights. Well, that's a high school rivalry, a lot like Shikellamy and Sealands Grove, which Kevin refers to as the friendly rivalry.
Well, most times.
Well, every once in a while, Ryan Brandt does say something to me about, you know, their broadcast versus yours, but that's just a personal thing.
It's usually because I throw stuff at him in the middle of the game. Hey, you want to keep it down down there?
Yeah, we're getting excited over here. It's a great game.
No, it's not.
But that's interesting. I posed this question other times. We've had some interesting answers to it. But what do you think as a sports fan is the rivalry that piques your interest, that you can't wait to see? 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. That is one area in the Big Ten that Penn State really doesn't have right now. Pitt thing will be interesting to see how it plays out over the next 4 years, starting in September. The Penn State-Pitt rivalry was a great rivalry in particular between 1974 and 83. Somewhere in that range. So it was over that 11-year span where it was pretty intense and pretty nasty, actually. It really got kind of down and dirty between the fans. And I think it's in part because Penn State was exponentially better than Pitt from 1966 through 73. Then Dorsett came on the scene as a freshman in 73. And then 74, the game got better. 75 was a really good game. Penn State won both of those. And then 76, Pitt won the game 24-7. That was the game that was 7-7 at halftime. And Johnny Majors made a fabulous move. And he took Tony Dorsett and he flipped him to fullback. And Penn State didn't adjust to it. And I think Dorsett ran for like 224 yards of the game. And they won the game 24-7. And Pitt went on to win the national championship. Matt Kavanaugh was the quarterback and so forth. Then Penn State beat them 15-13 in the snow at Pitt Stadium in 77. 78 game was the game where Joe Paterno kicked off to start each half because the wind was blowing so hard toward the south end zone, he kicked off each half. Because he thought field position was critical, and Penn State won the game 17-10. Then Pitt blew out Penn State 79. I mean, you know, Dan Marino, those guys, Hugh Green, Jackson, Ricky Jackson, beat Penn State like 32-14. And then in 80, Todd Blackledge made one of the few mistakes he made. I mean, he threw a pass to the side. He was trying to throw the ball away, and Carlton Williamson, to his credit, went up and grabbed it and intercepted, and Pitt won the game, I think, 14-9 or something like that. But then 81 was the infamous 48-14 game. Then in 82, Penn State won with relative ease. 83, they tied. Pitt won big in 84, and then Penn State won every game after that. And I'm talking like big, 85, 86, 87, 88. 89, 90, 91, 92. Not one of those games was close. the series reverted back to where it was in the 60s and into the early 70s. But that 11-year stretch, big-time rivalry. 800-795-9565 is the number. 800-795-9565. What do you think, in your opinion, is the rivalry that gets your juices flowing and you can't wait to watch it? Now, it's going to bother Kevin because I know he's probably thinking, what is it for me?
I actually have a guess.
Okay, what's your guess?
I actually think you do have one. Now
You do?
I think you do have one. You just don't get into it as much as the rest of us do. I would say yours would be Red Sox-Yankees.
I used to a long time ago, not so much now. It's another day at the office now.
Yeah, but I'm taking you back before you started doing what you do. I'm talking about before you started going to Penn State and decided to work this is your career. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but even then, I went to Yankees Red Sox games when I was a kid, and it was no real big, you know. It was. I think there was that period of time when I was in college and the Yankees got Reggie Jackson, those guys, and they were pretty good, and the Red Sox were really good, and the Red Sox couldn't get past them. And so,
by the way, speaking of rivalries, our friend Brandon Gouton from Bleeding Green Nation has a story today that Philadelphia could be one of the potential landing spots for RG3. Said the really? the scenario depends on if new head coach Doug Peterson likes Sam Bradford or not.
Wow. Boy, Bradford's more his style of guy, though.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, too. I have to give him a buzz and see if he might be available here this week to talk about that. Maybe I was taking it in a different context the way he was writing it, but
I don't know.
I thought that was interesting.
Kirk Cousins, of course, negotiations broke off between the two sides. The differences are far apart on money. March 1st is the next big deadline, so neither one's pressing up against that deadline yet. Then March 9th is the next big deadline, so obviously they know we're close to pressing up against that one yet. But This is a hard one here. Number one, is Kirk Cousins one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL? I don't think so yet. So should he be paid like one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL? I don't think so yet. But here goes now let's go to the next part. What's Washington's best option besides Kirk Cousins? They don't have one. So this is a really odd dynamic between young quarterback who did really well. I don't see in Kirk Cousins' career that he is a star. I don't see that. I see him as being a really good NFL quarterback, really, really good, but not a star. He reminds me in terms of where he can go of a Joe Flacco. I do not consider Joe Flacco to be a star in this league. I consider him to be a really good quarterback in this league. I know Flacco's won a Super Bowl, but I mean, do any of you think of Joe Flacco as a star? But they sure are a different team. Because, I mean, look, I mean, I don't even think Flacco wants to be a star. He doesn't, you know.
He's solid.
Yeah, he doesn't market himself. He doesn't do any, you know. And Flacco's just a really, really good NFL quarterback. Really good. You want him as your quarterback. He may not be Brady. He may not be Roethlisberger, but boy, he's really good. I think that's the ceiling for Kirk Cousins. I think he is a guy that can be really good, but will never be one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. but you can win a lot of games with really good. You can win a lot of games with really good. And you look at teams that made the playoffs this year, a couple of them made it with really good. I mean, look, Carson Palmer is, let's be honest with you. Carson Palmer is a really good quarterback. Carson Palmer is not a great quarterback, but he was such a dramatic upgrade over what Arizona had before that it's like, wow, you know, well, yeah, so that's what happens when you bring a real pro, a real professional quarterback that knows how to play the position and so forth. But Carson Palmer is not Aaron Rodgers. He's really, really good. If I were to pick a young quarterback and I thought I had a chance to be a real star in this league, I think it's Derek Carr of Oakland. All right. 800-795-9565. Look, don't disappoint me here. I want to hear what people, just give me, what do you think is the rivalry that really piques your interest? Love to hear that. 800-795-9565. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When using your propane grill in the winter, follow your grill manufacturer's instructions and keep them handy. Grills belong outdoors 5 feet away from the side of your house. Use a leak detection solution to check connections before lining or connecting the grill. And always keep the grill top open until the burners are fully lit. Leave repairs to the professionals. For more advice, give us a call today.
Brought to you by the Pennsylvania Propane Gas Association and your local propane service providers. The Susquehanna River is in danger. The Ralph W. Abel Conservation Scholarship Fund has embarked on a fundraising effort to assist the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission's Save Our Susquehanna campaign. Donations received through the link at fishandboat.com will go directly to projects to help fix the Susquehanna River. Go to fishandboat.com to learn more and to find out how you can help before it's too late.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Our number. What are you thinking? What's the rivalry that piques your interest in sports? Duke is playing North Carolina tonight. That's why this question drives it. And they call it the greatest rivalry in all of sports, the greatest rivalry in college sports. To me, rivalries are personal. It's whatever you think is the biggest rivalry. You're the fan. And what you think is a big rivalry may not be what they think in Bristol, Connecticut. 800-795-9565 is the number. We'd love to hear from you. And so far we've had Army-Navy was one. And we got Ken and Milton. Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm good, fellas. How are you today?
Great to hear you again.
You know, you bring up the rivalry thing, and it's kind of funny because I was having a conversation just a few weeks ago with a couple of friends, and it's really strange. I can say as a casual sports fan, I guess, like when college basketball, I think every sport at every level has its own rivalry. Certainly, many of them are regional, and certainly a lot of them involve your favorite school. Like as a Penn State fan, I got to agree with what you said earlier. I don't feel a rival in the Big Ten in any sport at all. Football especially, I don't like Ohio State. I don't like to lose to them, but I don't hate them. Mm-hmm. I don't like Michigan. I like to beat them. I like to beat Michigan State, but I don't hate them. And right. I know it might be a little offbeat, but you got to hate your rival to have to be your rival. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, I hear you.
There has to be some dislike there, at least.
Well, at least dislike. Now, you know, on the flip side, I will watch North Carolina and Duke tonight. I think that's the best rivalry in college basketball. The history lends it to so. And, you know, professional baseball, I personally think the Yankees and Red Sox, and that's a game that on Sunday Night Baseball that I will go out of my way to watch because it's the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Very good. Okay. I see exactly what you're going to do. Like I said, there's no wrong answers here.
It's just, it's strange, and with conference realignments, it's even happened in high school to some degrees. You know, larger conferences and realignments and professional teams going from one city to another, a lot of the rivalries have been damaged. Now, I think they recover. You know, you look at Pittsburgh and Baltimore in football. That's something that's evolved recently. But I think the growth of sports, both professional and collegiately, is actually, and even at the interscholastic level, I think it's hurt rivalries to some degree. So that's my take on it, and I'll let you guys run with it. But thank you very much, and have a good evening.
You have a great evening, Ken. Appreciate that, and I agree with Ken. I think conference realignment is really hurt. I mean, Missouri and Kansas was a great college basketball rivalry. They don't play anymore. You know, Penn State and Pitt, you know, look, I mean, Pitt could have been in the same conference with Penn State. They turned it down. They decided to go into the Big East for basketball, which basketball-wise was a great decision for them. Rivalry-wise, it was not a great decision. And that rivalry, then Penn State joined the Big Ten, and they've only played four times since. Oklahoma and Nebraska. The conference, literally in football, the conference broke that rivalry up. And you know how they did it? They put them in different divisions and they rotated off each other's schedule. When they went to the Big 12 and absorbed four teams of the Southwest Conference. A conference actually broke up a rivalry. Oklahoma-Nebraska used to be the last game of the season. Thanksgiving weekend. And the conference broke it up. Conference realignment has had a lot of pluses and some real negatives.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is behind the wheel of another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
The redesigned 2017 Hyundai Elantra.
2017, can you believe that?
Yeah. And you know, I asked, you know, I know they usually come out in the fall of the year before. What's the deal with bringing this one out in, like, the winter of almost a full year prior? And Skip from Sunbury Motors Hyundai said, well, they did a redesign. And when they do a redesign, they like to release it a little bit early. And one of the things that they redesigned was they gave it a sportier look. They put a lot more tech in it, including the Android and Apple integration into the 9-inch display screen, or excuse me, 8-inch video display screen that also includes a backup camera. Crash detection system is also now available. So if the vehicle senses that you are getting way too close to a vehicle ahead of you, it will brake for you. Plus, it has actually made the cabin a little bit roomier than in the 2016 model of the Elantra. One of the things that they've done is they've expanded the legroom in the back, but yet the vehicle itself is pretty much the same size. It's really interesting to see how they can be able to make the vehicle a little bit more comfortable, but still make it a compact car. So you have mid-size room, compact car, and by the way, a compact car price starting at $17,000, even with all that tech. Find out more at sunburymotors.com. You can also see them in person in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury.
Sports Bozo of the day, and it goes to the forward for the New Jersey Devils, who last night in the game flopped, purely flopped. I can't stand flopping. I can't stand it in soccer. I can't stand it in basketball. The NBA's done a much better job, by the way, of cleaning it up in basketball. They've done that because of something called fines. It turns out that without fines, I think college basketball's really cleaned up flopping this year. Really cleaned it up. I'd say 90% of it. Every once in a while, I see one. You're looking at flop. I always love that. Catch the ball on the block. Guy's supposed to be holding his spot. Guy makes one move back, and he acts as if suddenly, you know, a shot went off. Hey, excuse me, you got hit that hard? Well, the Devils for the flop last night against the Flyers, sports bozos of the day. What's your top rivalry in sports? 800-795-9565. Tonight, Duke plays North Carolina. That's what spurs the question. We've had some interesting comments so far. Army-Navy being one. We heard Duke-North Carolina. Yankees-Red Sox. Kevin said Shikellamy and Selinsgrove. Rivalries are in all forms across, and it could be individual. It can be individual rivalries. I mean, the Chris Everett, Martina Navratilova rivalry was an outstanding individual rivalry over the years. So what's the one that piques your interest? 800-795-9565. I thought Ken from Milton, though, made a really good point that modern sports, essentially, realignment and so forth, has killed a lot of rivalries. And it has. Missouri-Kansas was a big-time basketball rivalry. They don't play. Missouri's in the SEC. Kansas State in the Big 12. They don't play. You're talking about over 100 games between the two. They don't play. Texas and Texas A&M don't play. Pitt and Penn State don't play. I'm trying to think who else doesn't play because of the realignment. Oh, Oklahoma, Nebraska. But what's interesting about that is the conference itself killed that rivalry, because when they had 12 teams in the Big 12, you didn't play a full round robin schedule. You played in divisions. And Oklahoma and Nebraska were in separate divisions, which meant that they rotated off of each other's schedules from time to time. The conference killed the rivalry. So what do you think is the rivalry that piques your interest? Could be pros, could be like the Ravens-Steelers, it could be Steelers-Browns, it could be a local one like Shikellamy-Selinsgrove, anything. It's to me, rivalries are personal. It's not what the four-letter network tells you. 800-795-9565 is the number. Also, I'm hoping that Dick from Milton calls us in today, because I want to get his read on Neville's the heavyweight, because I've never seen him wrestle. And Dick did see him, as he mentioned in the call yesterday. He saw him wrestle at Lehigh, and I want to get Dick's read on what he saw, because in the Penn State lineup, there are a couple of holes, and that's been one of them all year. Is he capable here of filling that hole as they hit the postseason? 800-795-9565. Is the number, 800-795-9565. I mean, what is that rivalry that piques your interest? It's interesting, though, how, again, and by the way, a happy birthday today, Michael Jordan and Jim Brown. Wow, is that an exacta? Michael Jordan and Jim Brown. Jordan's 53 today, and Jim Brown is 80. Sharing the same birthday.
Best I can do is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You share a birthday with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes.
Does he know?
I've contacted him a few times about it. I haven't heard anything in return.
That explains the police questions I've had. All right. What do you think of this guy? Well,
I don't think of anything.
800-795-9565 is the number.
I'm glad he's on the East Coast and I'm in California.
What is the best rivalry in sports to you, the sports fan? And then, of course, you may be busy today, whatever, but I'd love to have Dick from Milton give me a call about the Neville's kid at heavyweight, because he's seen him. I haven't, so I want to know what he thinks. Trust his judgment, because they've got some big things coming up here, and is he enough to fill the bill at heavyweight for Penn State? Later in the week, we're going to have Jeff Byers and Nate Cobbler on. Nate from the Center Daily Times, Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, to preview Penn State-Oklahoma State. We've got that coming up. Joe Lenardi did get back to us. We're now working out the day and time for him to be on the show to talk about bracketology. We've got that. We've also put in requests for both Brent Pry and Joe Moorhead, the defensive and offensive coordinators, respectively, of Penn State. I'm going to go over next Tuesday morning about at 5:30 and watch the workout. And they'll give me a read on where they are right now. You're saying, well, why are you going to wait till next Tuesday morning? Because that's the next schedule one with the coaching staff there. That's why. There's certain rules, you know. Doggone rules. Doggone rules killing us. But that's when the coaching staff is there and can be with them. So I'm going to go down, roll it up on Tuesday morning and go over and see what they look like, see what kind of shape they're in, kind of see who's excelling. I remember going to this last year. I remember James Franklin came running over to me. He said, look, I want you to check out this guy, this guy, this guy. And the last guy he wanted me to check out was Saeed Blacknell. He said, check it. He says, he's bench pressing 400 pounds now. I said, what? So you see that kind of improvement in kids. So I'll get, you know, and I've never seen the four youngsters before. So I'm going to try and do that next Tuesday morning, get a real look at and read from them. And then I'll pass it along to everybody here as to, you know, what I see. And I don't know what's going to mean in a football sense, but it'll give you an idea of, you know, when I watch these workouts, I get a sense for who's in better shape, who's put in the work, who has some leadership capability, who wants to be first, who wants to be middle of the pack. You know, I get a sense in watching some of that. I'll get a sense for speed and quickness on some kids, things like that. So I'm going to do that, take a long look at that next Tuesday morning, and, you know, I'll give all of you a feel for what I see. Fair enough? Fair enough. And what is sports' best rivalry? We've had some interesting answers today. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. Love to hear about that. Remember the great catch Allen Robinson made in the Michigan game?
I knew where you're going with this, yes.
Yeah, you got a tattoo.
Got a tattoo of it.
Yeah. Right down his ribs.
I thought that was different.
Interesting. Completely different. It is interesting how we're talking about rivalries. Team movement has wrecked rivalries. The Bruins and the Whalers are starting to get one, and then the Whalers moved to Carolina. Conference realignment in college has changed rivalries. It's one of the problems that I think Pitt has right now in the ACC. They're playing some great teams. Yeah, they still play Syracuse. Yeah, Louisville's still there. Notre Dame, of course, they get in there from their old Big East days. Like, the Big East broke apart. I mean, look at UConn, for example. Who's UConn's rival? When UConn got into the Big East and then they were developing Big East football, they had it all lined up that their big rivalry was going to be UConn was going to play Boston College. And then BC, Gene DeFilippo, the athletic director, got him into the ACC. Now, financially, was it a better move for BC to get into the ACC? Yeah. But then that killed the rivalry potential in football with UConn. And then UConn trying to think, was it you guys? Yeah, Jim Calhoun. UConn said, hey, look, we're not going to play BC in anything anymore. That ended that. Now who's UConn's rival? It kind of morphed towards Syracuse in basketball. Now they're in the American Conference. Really? Where's the rivalry there? Who's your rival? Cincinnati?
Ooh.
I mean, but I would say conference realignment has killed rivalries. Even internally, I mentioned Oklahoma, Nebraska. Finally, Nebraska had enough, they moved. Nebraska's starting to develop a rivalry with Iowa. That looks like that's got something cooking there between the two. I think when Ken called up the show, he made a really good point about Ohio State. Ohio State badly wants to beat Penn State, but Michigan's their rival. Michigan wants to badly beat Penn State, but Ohio State's their rival. Penn State doesn't have a rival right now. There is no rivalry game. No, Rutgers, you're not. Okay, no. You're our rival. We hate you. I'm glad you hate us.
That's one side. Thanks.
All right. Thanks so much, really.
Ken mentioned something, and I think you kind of alluded to it, too. There's a little bit of a football rivalry with Ohio State, and I think that's because of the Pennsylvania-Ohio football rivalry that's been around for so many years.
Also, it goes back, Woody Hayes, Joe Paterno.
Sure. I mean,
they both had really good programs, so, you know.
To me, though, I think the football rivalry really is Michigan. But
with who?
But with Penn State. I think there is a rivalry there.
I guess. Look. The bottom line is, to me, for it to be a deep-seated rivalry, to me...
Yeah, what do you need for that? Good question.
It's got to be the game that both sides absolutely can't wait to have happen.
Okay.
Like, above all.
Iowa State.
Right. Well, I'll give you an example of like a one-sided rivalry. At Maryland, Duke in basketball was the rival. Let me ask you if Duke fans felt the same way. No. Duke fans looked at Maryland as another really good team you had to beat on the schedule. And right? But North Carolina's their rival. That's where Penn State is in this. Eh? Michigan looks at Penn State as a really good team we have to beat. Ohio State looks at Penn State as a really good team we have to beat. But each fan base will tell you that they can't wait to crush Ohio State, and Ohio State can't wait to crush Michigan. To me, a rivalry has got to be the one game that in a bad season makes your season.
See, that's where
To me, a rivalry has to be one where both sides have won big games over the years against one another. A rivalry to me has to be one where both sides usually have a pretty even chance of winning. Take Michigan, Ohio State of late. I mean, Ohio State's dominated that thing of late.
Using that definition, would you say Penn State, Michigan, or Penn State, Notre Dame?
But again, it's got to be something that's on both sides.
I don't know. I think Notre Dame fans enjoy playing Penn State because of the... I mean, I'm thinking about the fan base around here. Yeah. There's a lot of Notre Dame fans. There's a lot of Penn State fans. And they get excited when they play.
Right. That's fine. Except it's not just the people around here that count for this thing.
True.
If you talk to a lot of Notre Dame fans, they'll tell you, like, to them, it's USC. Yeah, Notre Dame doesn't really have one. USC is a team they do play every year. They don't play Michigan every year now. It used to be Michigan, maybe it was near the top. I think if Notre Dame in 1999 had gotten into the Big Ten, there's a good chance that would have been the last weekend of the season, that game. I think it was all set up for Penn State, and that would have been a rivalry game that would match anybody's rivalry game.
And I think that's why it does it, and that's why it hasn't become a more popular matchup, because it didn't happen every it stopped happening.
Well, they've only played twice since 1992.
Yeah, it stopped happening.
So you can't, that can't be a rivalry game. It can't be a rivalry game when now Pitt might be. Again, I don't know. We'll see how the next 4 years goes. But I know there's not a lot of heavy desire on this part to go beyond the 4 years.
Well, the question is, how many times did Pitt beat Penn State in the entire series?
In the entire series? Like going back to Forbes Field?
That's what I'm saying, in the entire series.
Or since Joe Paterno came on, like the last 50 years.
I mean in the entire, I'm talking the entire series that they would have played.
I think they've played like 100, I don't know, what is 56, 52 or some number like that with some ties? I mean, Penn State's got a slight advantage. But that goes back to, it goes back to the days where Penn State played no home games in the series either. I mean, Penn State played no home games. Jack in Danville. Hi, Jack. How are you today?
Not bad. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Great to hear from you.
Great. I just wanted to add one more thought to the Pitt thing. I was kind of in your camp. I didn't really care all that much whether we played them. But I noticed that with recruiting lately, there seems to be a little tension building. So I think that's also a factor in helping to develop a rivalry.
Interesting. I think that's an interesting point.
By the way,
I'll say this about the Pitt recruiting thing. Jack Ham and I were talking on the phone, and he says, a lot of people down here are really thrilled about what they've done. I said, Jack, they're ranked 38th. I said, if Penn State were ranked 38th in recruiting, you and I would be at the Liberty Street Bridge.
Yeah, that's, you're right about that. But they did get one or two guys that Penn State was targeting, so that created a little tension there on those message boards. So I think the fans are starting to look forward to it. And if Pitt has a chance to beat Penn State, I think this year's their golden opportunity, because I don't know what's going to happen in the near future after that.
I think you make all interesting points. I think everything you said, I don't find fault with anything you said there.
And by the way, Penn State does lead the series 50-42-4.
Well, let's keep it that way. Now, as far as professional teams, I'm a Red Sox guy. I can't help but watch it when they play the Yankees, even though, again, I'm kind of with you on that. Like, I just look forward to good games. For a while, Tampa Bay was a nemesis for the Red Sox. That was always fun to watch.
True.
You know, I guess I'm beyond the genuine rivalry stage stuff, but it's still fun now and then.
I'm with you all the way, Jack. I feel the same way you do. Great stuff.
I was going to say, that was my 2 cents.
Okay, great. I like your 2 cents. You could throw in more dollars next time if you want to. Love hearing from you.
All righty.
Love hearing from you, Jack. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. We have wrestling for you tonight on the station. I think Jack made some good points. Ken made some good points. Kevin made some good points. Rick made some good points. A lot of good points made today about rivalries.